Today on VFN TV, the United Nations is being confronted by the new president and the new ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley. We're going to go look at the unstoppable voting bloc that's about to be stopped by the ambassador, Nikki Haley. We're going to look at what the U.S. ambassador is saying about shifting and moving around the United Nations. And we're going to look at our borders today, right now on VFN TV.
To VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just start raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well. And ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's, I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I
took the 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's it.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land?
I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolesetsky. Well, these are exciting days. I mean, the unstoppable voting bloc that we've told you about so many times in the United Nations is being confronted and being confronted hard by President Donald Trump and the ambassador to the United Nations for America, Nikki Haley. It is so exciting. First, today, we want to look at this unstoppable voting bloc and what it's all about, because you're wondering, every time something was taken to the United Nations, how come Israel always came out on the short end? Well, today we're going to find out, and also we're going to hear from Ambassador Nikki Haley and what she is doing. She's putting her foot down and saying, we will not tolerate that anymore, and we will always have Israel's back. Take a look. This is the unstoppable voting bloc. It's a whole block of Muslim nations who came together against America and against Israel, and every time they brought something there, they would vote against it and say that Israel was a bad country. Not China, not Russia, not Syria, the ones that are killing their people through genocide, but Israel, who's been protecting people. But this is the details about the unstoppable voting bloc. And what's so exciting about this, it's about to be stopped. Let's take a look at what it is first. Unstoppable voting bloc, United Nations.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN, because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
This is why it's so important to understand that's what the United Nations was, but America elected a new president who got a new ambassador who stands in friendship with Israel. We'll be talking about that today. And you're about to hear Ambassador Nikki Haley confront how she confronted the United Nations and said, "We will even remove funding from United Nations if we don't line up with what's actually meant to be done." But I want you to take you back to, it was October 2015, when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stood before the United Nations, while former President Barack Obama was fueling nuclear capabilities for Iran and supporting Iran. He stood there and he confronted us. It's called the 45 Minutes of Silence. And remember, the United Nations is a place where all the nations of the world gather. It's like the Valley of Jehoshaphat when you think about it, where God's going to gather all the nations and judge them for what they did to the land of Israel. Well, this is about 45 seconds where he stares down 45 seconds the nations about what they did. Let's go back and take a look at that, because God heard. We begin to pray and God answered our prayers, and that's why it's so important that a president that stands in support of Israel, Congress that stands in support of Israel, and the United Nations has to be turned around or done away with if it's not going to get in alignment with the betterment of our own people and our own values. Let's go look and remember back. This is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the United Nations confronting and looking, "How come you're so silent when Iran is saying they want to destroy us and you're not saying anything?" For 45 seconds, he stares them down. Let's go back and remember that before we see Ambassador Nikki Haley talk about it.
Last month, Khamenei once again made his genocidal intentions clear before Iran's top clerical body, the Assembly of Experts. He spoke about Israel, home to over 6 million Jews. He pledged, quote, "There will be no Israel in 25 years, end quote. 70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews, Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people, and the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the governments represented here, has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. Deafening silence. Perhaps you can understand why Israel is not joining you in celebrating this deal. If Iran's rulers were working to destroy your countries, perhaps you'd be less enthusiastic about the deal. If Iran's terror proxies were firing thousands of rockets at your cities, perhaps you'd be more measured in your praise. And if this deal were unleashing a nuclear arms race in your neighborhood, perhaps you'd be more reluctant to celebrate.
This is why it's so important what we're about to say. Yeah, join us after this break because you're going to hear Nikki Haley, what she has to say as she's confronting what's been taking place at the United Nations, saying it's going to change. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We call it Nonviolence 365. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. Nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice and not people. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. That's my father's philosophy and methodology of nonviolence.
Welcome back. We're so excited. You're about to hear from Nikki Haley. She's the new ambassador to the United Nations for America. And she is brass, strong, kind, loving, definite. And we finally got some clear direction over, over the United Nations, which we support, I believe, 22% of the budget. This is so important because the United Nations has been used as an enemy of Israel and the values of America. And yet we've been supporting it all this particular time.
And it's located in America. So
yeah,
it's just
in New
like,
York. A lot of people don't really realize it's right there in New York. And so when you think about this, you think about that for years, you see the unstoppable voting bloc, where it's about to be stopped, come dead standstill. But this is what they just did. Nikki Haley had to, Ambassador Nikki Haley had to deal with this thing. The Fox News just reported, they just published a paper, a report, claiming, at the United Nations, claiming that Israel was an apartheid, a crime of apartheid, which is, you know, crazy. And it's not. But they've been doing this for a long time, as you saw in the beginning part of our program. And they said this offensive has been gestating for at least 2 years within the UN Economic and Social Commission for West Asia, which just happens to be made up of all Arab countries. And it's they said they're timing it. They loosed this particular, you know, calling Israel an apartheid state right there at their 50th anniversary, which is this May, which is the Six-Day War, 1967. If you missed our previous program, understanding, you know, what God spoke to me prophetically about, there's going to be some rough things go down, but Israel's going to win.
That's
America's
right.
going to win. We're going to come out. We're going to survive this thing. But it's what happened in 1967 is going to happen again.
Yeah.
And it happens to be 50 years. And what's going to come with it is a great jubilee. But this is so exciting because Ambassador Nikki Haley, this is her right here. She's talking about this paper that was just report that was written, you know, at the United Nations. We have there's a new, you know, chairman of the United Nations now.
The General Assembly. Right?
Yeah, and he's totally different than the previous one. It was amazing. I just think the sort of purpose is like say something, and he's condemning this report. But look how Nikki Haley represented you, the American people, when she confronted them, and says we're not even going to tolerate this. Look what she said.
Now, just yesterday, a commission of the UN condemned Israel as an apartheid state. How helpful is that?
It's not helpful, but it goes back to the culture of the UN. The UN has been Israel bashing for decades. And what we are trying to do is make sure that they understand there's a new administration in town. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to have the backs of Israel every time they do this. This was a guy who's been known to be against Israel, and to come out with a report like that was ridiculous, and it was just irresponsible. And so we were very quick to say something, and I think I greatly appreciate that the Secretary General immediately disqualified the report.
Well, so there's like a new sheriff in town.
Amen.
It's
amen.
Like, oh, we got to let you know. There's a new administration here. We're not going to, whatever that was,
we're not going to stand by all this thing.
It's exciting.
It's beautiful. And it's wonderful to know the fact that there's a voice that's not going to apologize for Israel. They're just not going to tolerate that anymore.
Yeah, she even says, well, you'll hear in a few moments, she says, no matter what happens, we're going to have Israel's back every single time.
Praise God. Yes.
God is so awesome. I mean, he did all this. I mean, this is what God has done. And it's exciting, but I also like the idea where, you know, the Ambassador Nikki Haley says, we're no longer going to flip the bill, you know, for the United Nations. And they're saying the same thing about NATO and the security. Listen, everybody needs to pay up. And it's like, how long have we just been giving the taxpayers' money away in America while people are losing their houses and losing their jobs and different things? And it's like, quit giving all the other people's money away. By the way, you don't know this. Government generates no money. The only way government gets money if they take it from you. They define that as a tax or a fee.
Yeah.
So if they're giving, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to the United Nations, that is your money. And what she's saying specifically, she's saying, okay, it's a great deal. Let's make sure this thing works. And we want to measure what we're doing. If it's not working, we're not going to do it anymore. I love it. As a matter of fact, here's the Ambassador Haley right now talking about, we are not going to flip the bill for things that don't work anymore. Take a look.
I take your comment on that to heart. At the same time, you say the U.S. has been putting up, carrying the burden for the U.N. for a long time, and perhaps for too long, and you're looking for other countries to step up. Who in this world is willing to step up in a way the United States has at the U.N.?
I think actually a lot of countries will want to step up, and the reason is...
Can you name one?
All of our colleagues, I can tell you that I think Russia will step up. I think China will step up. I think UK and France will step up. All of these countries see value in the UN. They really find this as the heart of where negotiations take place and where diplomacy is. So, you know, but they've never been asked to do that. And that's what we need to say is, look, we're going to help people around the world. We're going to do our part, but we're not going to cover the whole thing. We need to start seeing more input. They need to be invested so that they care about what the output of a peacekeeping mission is. They need to be invested so that they care about the management reform at the UN. And so I think that's our job, is to get them to see the inefficiencies. So far, they have responded great in terms of wanting to see this place more efficient.
I asked that, and there's a little bit of delay in the satellite here, because we heard the same thing when John Bolton was at the UN 10 years ago, and I'm just curious, has anything changed? And can you, or under the leadership of President Donald Trump, change it?
Well, I can tell you what I've done, and that was meet with the Secretary General, immediately talk about how we're going to do peacekeeping reform and strategic reform. I've met with every member of the Security Council and talked to them about the reforms I want to do. They are all supported. No one has pushed back on it. And so as you see us taking on every mission, you're going to see a difference. In Haiti, for example, we're cutting that in half, we're basically exiting out of Haiti. And so you're going to see each mission start to kind of either come to a close or get smarter in the process. And then also, just with the bureaucracy at the UN, you can trim a lot of fat, and everybody sees that. If it's not effective, we're going to call it out. We're going to ask for change. And what we have is a Secretary General that's actually responding positively to that, and we've got a Security Council who gets it.
If it's not effective, we're going to call it out. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
In other words, it's saying, like, they're going to manage your money, your tax money, wisely. They're not going to just throw your money away. Think about how many businesses can hire more employees if they quit overtaxing you. And if you don't own your own company and you work for somebody who owns the company. And if you work for a corporation, that's a, you know, stockholders probably own that company. But somebody owns it, and the more money the company has, the more people they can hire. And, you know, we're always blessing the VFN Dream Center, the VFN family, with good pay, package benefits, and, you know, entrepreneurial ideas that God can bless you. But people that like to use government to oppress people take away your wealth. And God wants you to keep your wealth and be able to give it out to other people yourself. I mean, you're the one supposed to be the giver. Government's not called to be able to be the giving hand. Your hand with your money goes out to people in need. And it's one thing America really does. America's a very given nation. But it's exciting because the United Nations, if you would have heard, if you've heard previous programs, we talked about, you know, is New York City spiritual Babylon? Is it the, you know, you're talking about these different things because the United Nations there, all the nations gather there. This is like a window of time. This is a moment in time. This is a window of time. It's an exciting time. It's a jubilee time. We get back from this break, we're going to be talking more about what happened in 1967, 50 years ago this May, understanding that, hey, this is a jubilee year.
Yeah.
But it's something that always happens before jubilee. It looks like a real hard time, and then all of a sudden, great time. And that's when, you know, jubilee is about, you know, when if you loan somebody, gave people a piece of property and they're making payments on it, and they, whatever happened, they didn't pay it off, they'd give that property back. Everything comes back to you. Everything would come back to you in the jubilee. Yep. And so everybody, all the debt's taken care of, everything's paid. And it's just like that prophetic word that you saw in the introduction of this program today.
that the year of restoration.
When that gavel comes down, yes, and makes the when the judge brings guilt down on the evil one, that's when provision's going to, yes, come, gold's going to come, and it's you know, accept it. You know, it'll be done to you according to your faith. This is a year of breakthrough. So we get back from the break. We're going to find how important it is to be standing with Israel during this particular time of Jubilee. Thank God.
Yes.
We could have not been standing with Israel during this time, but we are. Listen, I want to be able to send this to you. This is so important. It's a teaching called Slip Sliding Away, the Battle Between Light and Dark. That's what's been going on all along. You know, Jesus says about, you know, we talk about John 3:16 all the time, but we don't go 3:17, 18, 19, and 20. And that's when Jesus says, the verdict is in. I called them to the light, but they didn't want to come in the light. They liked their deeds in darkness. We as Christians have to, in this dark world, we have to walk around with the light of God in our hearts and walk around with light ways. And it's an interesting thing is there's so many dark things taking place that, and people will try to convince you to turn your light down to make them comfortable. And that's what was happening in the last 8 years. And the thing is the only hope for them is that if you keep the light shining.
The light.
I want to send this to you. This is how we stay on the air with your partnership. And this will be a gift sent to you directly in your email, or we want to mail this DVD to you. Here's the details.
Offer 2029, Slip Sliding Away, the Battle Between Light and Darkness. There was a song by Simon and Garfunkel in 1975 that was called Slip Sliding Away. It spoke of the nearer that he got to his destination, the more he was slip sliding away. There is a battle going on that is between the light and the darkness. And if we're not aware of this or don't take it serious, we too can end up slip sliding into darkness, though we're near our destination and our breakthrough. Jesus is the light and came to bring us into the life that brings eternal life in Him. Yet there are those who love the darkness, who are prophets of darkness, trying to draw those who walk in the light to their ways. This message gives you great insight and shows you, though we might have great plans to stay in the light, we still should remain humble, aware, and willing to walk away from those who love darkness. We should love them and hope for them, but when they've made their mind up to live in darkness, you'll find your relationship will be strained and eventually they'll walk away. You'll also learn that it's unwise to turn down your light to make others comfortable and how dangerous that is as your light may end up going out. Grow in wisdom as children of the light and learn the importance and the meaning of walking in the light. We want to send this offer to you for a love gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us by mail at VFN TV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2029, Slip Sliding Away, the Battle Between Light and Darkness.
Conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can a student use Christian music for a talent show at their school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
A friend of my daughter's tried out for their middle school talent show audition using a Christian song, and she was told she could be in the show, but she would have to choose another song, and I was wondering if that was an infringement of her free speech.
Tracy, it sure is. She's allowed to utilize in a talent show, in a presentation, a song that has religious content, a religious message, or a Christian song. In fact, there's Department of Education guidelines specifically on that point. Christian music is not banned when it's a student selection. They're allowed to make the selection. They could choose to include a Christian song as part of it. So again, as we just did previous call, we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get some help there. Again, if there's a talent show, the students are allowed to select the material. They cannot be banned simply because the material is religious in content or Christian in its orientation.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Today on Minute with Maxwell, we're going to talk about the word extraordinary. It comes from Sheridan Smith from Tasmania, Australia. I want you to know that extraordinary is just ordinary with the word extra in front of it. In other words, A lot of things are ordinary, but to make them extraordinary, you've got to add to what is already average. In other words, extraordinary starts with average. What's average? I don't know. But whatever average is, that's where you start. And then you put in extra on it to go beyond average. In other words, you take average time that many people spend to be successful, and you put extraordinary time, and that means you spend more time to be successful. It means that you take resources that would be ordinarily help you and be average, and you put extra in it, and you get more resources, and all of a sudden, you're able to add value to yourself and add value to others more. It means that you have an average attitude, an ordinary attitude, and then you smile when you don't want to smile, and you turn the other cheek, and you walk the second mile, and all of a sudden you become extraordinary. By the way, the gap between ordinary and extraordinary can be bridged by one word, and that is effort. People that put in an extra effort become extraordinary.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about the exciting fact that the unstoppable voting block can no longer be called unstoppable.
Coming to an end.
They haven't met the wrecking ball, yes. As Lance Wallnew called, the Lord called, a word to the Lance, yes. Wallnew was that God was going to put a president in office who was a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
And we had all these different words, wind and bulldozer, house of cards. All these different things.
There's a new administration in town.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, well, I'm not going to talk about that, but so it's happening, and so you're looking at this quote, unstoppable voting bloc is about to be stopped. They're stopping it. That's so exciting. You know, it's interesting is that when you're paying the bills, you can say, well, I'm just not going to pay the bills no more, yeah. Until it goes the way that it needs to go. Let's go back and look. Now, this has been 50 years this May. In the 1967 war that took place called the Six-Day War, Israel was just fine doing their thing. They got attacked by the Arab nations, and they had to say, okay. And they just, over the 6 days, they just took over a lot of land. And then they gave it back. But they only did that to be able to survive and not be destroyed. And today, that letter that you just heard about that they wrote at the United Nations, the report saying that they're in apartheid and they're wanting, yeah. to push them into the sea and crazy things going on. There's a reason why this is this way. And remember this, as it was in 1967, that's how it's going to be now, which means they're going to win. There's going to be a great expansion of territory. We talked about that.
The coming land grab. That's what
Pastor John Kilpatrick
talked about.
Yeah, a coming land grab, which is, that's their land anyway. I mean, you can look at the Bible and see it's their land. And so they're going to expand their territories. And when you stand in support of Israel, for the Lord, I mean, you're, yes. going to see, you know, you would be blessed as well. But let's go back and look at 1967 to kind of figure out, you know, so we don't get on the wrong side of this thing. And let's go back and look and gain from history what happened 50 years ago in Israel, 1967.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's: no recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt, because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem.
So we're looking.
I'm Dennis Prager.
So we're looking right now. I mean, this is what's taking place. And so 50 years later, we're facing the same spot.
Yep.
You know, but the exciting thing is that the King of Jordan just came to the prayer breakfast.
Yes.
The president was at and said, "We're going to stand with you.
Support you."
You got to catch our next program because the prince, one of the princes of Saudi Arabia, is saying, "We're going to stand militarily with America. We're going to stand financially with America. And we think vetting is a good thing for the borders." But listen, when we get back from this break, you got to join us because you're going to hear a prophetic word about all of this and President Trump and Israel and President Truman and how what was will be again from Pastor John Kilpacker of Church of His Presence. Join us after the break.
VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
where you want to be. The question is, can you be thankful where you are?
Welcome back. I'm so excited because you're going to hear a prophetic word from Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, when God spoke to him specifically. And what we're seeing take place right now, God has set this up. I mean, you know, this is a God thing, and no man can take glory for any of this. And that's one thing that, you know, Lance Wallner was just saying yesterday on CBN with Pat Robinson. And it's just impossible to take credit for it because our current president now was like 14 points behind. It was crashing, but God began to put wind behind him, and suddenly God put a man in place that was going to stand with Israel, stand with the country, stand with the borders, stand with the church. It just shifted everything. And listen to what God said to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, about that very thing. Take a look.
I was riding along the highway last Thursday evening. I was engaged in a conversation by cell phone with my administrator regarding budget matters. As I was listening to her answer a question, I heard Holy Spirit interrupt me and said, "How do you spell Truman?" I thought for a moment, and I said, T-R-U-M-A-N. He then said, "How do you spell Trump?" And I said, T-R-U-M-P. I immediately made the connection. He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again. He then asked me, how do you spell truth? I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, he's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets, but I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
That's so exciting to see all this come to pass. And it just shows you, as you're seeing right here in the background, that the first thing that happened with President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is they got their relationship together and said, with one phone call, they straightened it out. And this is so important because ever how we treat the apple of God's eyes, if you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. Yes. If you curse Israel, you're going to be cursed. And I remember we shared on our program from Patricia King, and of course we were saying as well, Pastor John Kilpatrick was saying as well, that we were on the edge of being cursed. I mean, we were like
hanging, teetering
on the edge of being cursed as a nation. This is what happens when you do that. And God had mercy on us. Yeah. And the specific thing that he had mercy on us about is that's just everything. But in regards to our relationship with Israel, that God wants Israel, America, to stand with Israel, to keep them in their homeland. And our previous president, you know, was just seemed to be fueling all the adversaries of Israel. Right. But you'll notice, though, this is something that was pointed out in history, that when God wants to discipline a nation, he has the nation turn against Israel.
Yeah.
And then Israel, God disciplines you for turning against Israel, and then they repent, and now they're for Israel.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you start seeing your nation turn against Israel, you can say, something's happened in this nation, something is going, because it makes no sense.
Right.
A state smaller than, a country smaller than the size of New Jersey, you know, that you have all this land that's given to the Arab people, and they want this little piece of real estate there.
They refuse to acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah, but when God's blessing's on you, when His blessing is on you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you know, God just blesses you. I remember when I was in law enforcement and, you know, somebody was being political and they thought, well, you know, I'm going to move Greg and put him over here. And, you know, out here he's, you know, doing too much effective law enforcement work. And for some reason the media is following him around and he's on these different programs and the newspapers, all that kind of stuff. So they put me in this other place. They thought nothing would happen. I'm like, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, God had me on the front page of the paper, and we were doing some things with FOP in schools and that type of thing. And it's just a matter of where you are. I mean, Joseph was blessed with his father.
That's right.
Joseph was blessed when he was with his brothers. He was blessed when he's in the pit. He's blessed when he's in slavery. He's blessed when he's in Potiphar's house. He was blessed when he's in the prison. He ran the prison. He was blessed when he ran the nation. And Israel's going to be blessed. The question is, are we going to bless Israel? And that's what's so exciting, that we're standing with Israel.
Unashamedly
standing with Israel. So 50 years ago, this May, you're looking at Jubilee. And so hold on, begin to pray for the peace of Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you know, pray for our leaders. It's strange. It's like, you know, Rabbi Zechariah says that people are blowing their own trumpets to take down their own walls. It's like the things that some people are asking for in America, I don't listen much to them. But what they're saying is, there's like, destroy me, take down my foundation, sink my boat so I can drown. It's like, do you hear what you're saying? And thank God for solid leadership going in the direction that it's going, and it just is so encouraging. Do you remember the movie War Room?
I do, yes.
Was that a touching movie?
That was a very powerful movie.
Do you remember the older mother that prayed?
Yes.
That was precious, wasn't it?
Yes.
She was doing war. If you haven't seen the movie War Room, you've got to see that movie. Because it really shows us how we can live our life as a Christian and just, you know, be about the Father's business everywhere we're at, not just in a building somewhere. And but the one who played the wife is Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans, yeah. Texas's daughter, Priscilla.
Priscilla Shire.
Priscilla Shire. And she was, that's one thing I didn't think, like, why did they have to put something about smelly feet? The whole thing is her shoes stunk or something. It had nothing to do with the movie. But it's just like her husband had to take her shoes and put outside. Anyway, that's not a true thing. It was just a movie. But she goes around speaking and praising the Lord, speaking at women's conferences, and she just told the truth like never before. When you start wondering about where you are and doubting where you are, you have to remind yourself who you are. And the one thing that she said is so powerful, that's resounded now around the world, is she says, God is so powerful. This is who He is. This is who you are. But she says, and Oprah cannot talk him away. She just keeps trying to say all these spiritual things. It's like, it's Jesus, honey. It's Jesus. That's what you need to know. As a matter of fact, let's go there now to her.
When you feel like you can't handle the task in hand and you ask yourself, girl, who's your daddy? Because I remember when Jerry said that to me and I got a good look at him, I felt secure. I felt taken care of, not because of me, but because of who I belong to. And what if when you got a good look at your God, remembering who He is and that you belong to Him? Listen, I think until the Lord stops me from taking platforms and ministering to women, I will say this until the day that I die, reminding myself as I do when I am quietly alone and I look myself in the mirror and say, girl, who's your daddy? You know what I tell myself? I tell myself, He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all time. He always was, always is, always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised but brought healing. He was pierced but eased pain. He was persecuted but brought freedom. He was dead and brings life. He has risen to bring power, and He reigns to bring peace. The world can't understand Him. Armies can't defeat Him. Schools can't explain Him. And leaders, they can't ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Nero couldn't crush Him. The New Age cannot replace Him. And Oprah cannot explain Him away. She can't. She can't do it. You remind yourself that he is light, he is love, he is longevity, and he is the Lord. He is goodness and kindness and faithfulness, and he is God. He is holy and righteous and powerful and pure. His ways are right, his word eternal, his will unchanging, and his mind is on us. He's our Savior, our guide, our peace, our joy, our comfort, our Lord, and he rules our lives. I serve him because his bond is love, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and his goal for us is abundant life. I follow him because he's the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of all leaders. His goal is a relationship with me. He'll never leave you, never forsake you, never mislead you, never forget you, never overlook you, and never cancel your appointment in his appointment book. Never. When you fall, he'll lift you up. When you fail, he'll forgive you. When you're weak, he's strong. When you're lost, he's your way. When you're afraid, he's your courage. When you stumble, he will steady you. When you're hurt, he's going to heal you. When you're broken, he will mend you. When you're blind, he will lead you. When you're hungry, he will feed you. When you face trials, he's with you. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he will comfort me. When I face loss, he will provide for me. And when we face death, he will carry us all home to meet him. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and in every way. He is your God, and that, sisters, is who you belong to.
That's powerful, is it not? That is so, so powerful. I want to pray for you right now. This is exciting days, but we got to pray. We got to do the work of faith, which is believing and standing and praying and doing and remembering whose we are and who we are. Father God, we just come to you now in the name of Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We just declare your glory today. We thank you for Jubilee. We thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you protect Israel in 1967 and you'll protect them in 2017, God. And we thank you, Lord, that the coming land expansion that's taking place, coming in the new future. Father God, bless those who stand for Israel. Give wisdom to our leaders. Be with Nikki Haley. She stands in bold force against those who are trying to harm America and harm Israel and harm the free world. And Father God, bless our president. Father God, we ask you, dear Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.